We have an interesting set of readings today, and it probably requires a little bit of explanation, because both of them are really about kind of not easily understood, I would say. In the first reading, we need to know about Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a horrible, horrible ruler. He was absolutely cruel and mean. And he kind of usurped the others and succeeded Alexander the Great, who was called great for all kinds of obvious reasons. He expanded the Greek Empire to much of the known world. Antiochus decided that the whole world should be Greek. That means they should follow Greek customs, they should worship Greek gods, they should speak Greek. In fact, everything they did should be about Greek, so that the entire world would be one. Now, for many Jews, this didn't present a problem. They simply abandoned their faith. But for a select few, they decided that to abandon their faith would be the worst decision they could make, because they placed their faith in the resurrection. And to lose the resurrection and to suffer for all eternity was unthinkable to them, even though this put them in very, very difficult circumstances. The mother we hear about in the first reading didn't lose four of her sons. She lost seven in the same day. At one point, she's even asked to convince the remaining sons not to give their life, but to do what the king wants them to do, which is to abandon their Jewish faith by eating pork. Now, that doesn't make a lot of sense to us today because we don't keep the Jewish kosher laws, but that was a real marker for the Jewish people. In fact, so interesting, or so important is probably a better word, was this identifier that the Jewish people, because they exercised in gymnasiums — I'll ask you to look up the etymological root of that word, because it's not what we think it is, but I won't mention it here. But at any rate, they even covered over the mark of their circumcision because they wanted to fit in. And that was always the Jewish temptation, that they would want to become like everybody else. So that's why this mother is so adamant that her children not give in, because she wants resurrected life for them. The book that we hear this is part of a group of scripture books that we refer to as the Deuterocanonicals, which means the second canon, because there are many Protestant churches that don't accept the books of the second canon, the seven books from the second canon. They don't acknowledge 46 books of the Old Testament. So it's called sometimes the second canon. But the Catholic Church from 382 and the Orthodox Church have always held that the Old Testament has 46 books. Now, why does any of this matter? It matters for the gospel, because the Sadducees and the Samaritans held to the Hebrew version of Scripture. But the Catholic Church, and in fact, I think over something like over 80% of the times that the Gospels and the New Testament quote the Old Testament, they use the translation from the Greek called the Septuagint, which included these books. That's the debate that's going on in the Gospel. Because those who didn't accept the book in the Jewish time, the Sadducees and the Samaritans, did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. That's why this question then becomes so important. They pose a ridiculous example in order to make a point, supposedly, that the resurrection makes no sense. And in fact, it probably does not make sense if we think of it in the way in which we think of this life. If we don't think of it as fundamentally different then I could see where someone might be tempted not to want to be religious. If you're living a life of suffering or difficulty, think of the people in Ukraine or the people in Haiti. If you're living that kind of life, the thought of living forever isn't very appealing. But if we are fundamentally changed by being brought into the presence of God, what St. Thomas Aquinas referred to as the beatific vision, the vision of total blessedness, then we can understand why someone might even sacrifice their life for this faith. That their relationship with Jesus could be strong enough that they would give even their very lives for the sake of this resurrected life. It really poses a difficult question. And it's not accidental that it's coming toward the end of the year, because the readings are now focusing us on kind of the end of time. We're gradually going to be moving this weekend, next weekend, and then Christ the King before we start all over again with the first Sunday of Advent. But it does pose a question for us. For what will we sacrifice in order to show our faith in Jesus? What is the thing that is so important to us in terms of faith that we could not sacrifice the principle for comfort or safety? There's no one answer for everybody. There's no one thing that's automatically or obviously correct. But it is an important question to think about, because Jesus did not die for us simply because he wanted us to be comfortable. He died for us so that we could live forever with him in heaven. And that's a tremendous, tremendous thing. People all over the world in this day and age are giving their lives for the sake of their faith. In fact, we could easily say that we live in the age of martyrs. Christians and Catholics all over the world giving their life for their faith. In fact, it has been estimated that there were more martyrs in the last century than the previous 19 centuries combined. People in places like Nigeria and Nicaragua, for example, who are dying for their faith simply for being Catholic. Let us ask the Lord to help us to look deeply into our own hearts so that we might have the resolve to live faithfully from our relationship with Jesus.